Good morning. Today is Monday, August the 13th. Joining us this morning, Humboldt County Superintendent of Schools, Chris Hartley. Good morning, sir.
Hey, good morning, Brian. Thanks for having me here today.
Are you ready?
I am ready. Absolutely.
I meant for the school year.
Well, for both. Sure. Well, we're getting ready.
Not a lot of prep for me.
If it were to start today, I would say we're not ready, but we are working really hard to get everything lined up.
Is everybody starting the 22nd, 23rd?
No, I think Fortuna High School District actually starts today. So we've got districts with different calendars throughout the county. Kind of, if you look at the Eel River Valley, they're kind of on one set, and then up here in the Eureka and northern Humboldt areas on a different one, but... Fortuna is the first one to start. They're starting this week, and then their feeder schools start, I believe, in a week after that.
Wasn't there a big push to try to get everybody on the same calendar?
We were close about 2 years ago, 3 years ago. We were pretty close trying to do that, but it just proves very difficult, you know, when you have districts that have different demands and goals to line up. 31 districts is proven.
You mean different school boards?
Different school boards.
Union contracts?
Yeah. Contracts.
Because I would think the parents... they would be in favor of.
Well, certainly if you have kids in feeder schools and then a high school, you know, that's challenging. So if you have a student at the middle school and then one at high school, and if they're not on the same schedules, that can drive parents pretty crazy.
Okay. Why do they say it? Today we're starting with the letter B. So, all right. Mr. Smart Guy.
Oh, boy. Here we go.
Why is a college degree called a bachelor's degree?
Oh, my gosh. Has nothing to do with being a bachelor.
That kind of hit you right in the crosshairs, didn't it?
You didn't warn me at all on that one.
No.
I would like to know.
Because originally a bachelor was a soldier, not old enough or rich enough to lead his retainers into battle under his own banner. Therefore, the word meant a person of inferior rank.
Interesting. So it goes back to the war times.
It was applied to the college degree in order to differentiate it from the higher degree of doctor.
Doctor. Interesting. Bachelorette degree.
Yes.
Very good. Thanks for that little bit of knowledge this morning.
You betcha. I figure it's going to whip around at least the administrative office today as you're strutting around with your PhD instead of...
They better be ready. If they're not listening, they're going to get this question. I like it.
Oh, gee. What's the big thing this year versus last year? What's the change?
Well, you know, from the... there's a lot of different changes, but we'll talk about a little bit on the fiscal side and you know, the state of the state, so to say. We have had a good fiscal year in the state of California, and so for schools that has meant, you know, a pretty good budget. We're not looking at any cuts, and we've restored to the governor's goal of getting us back to the 2007-08 funding levels. So that's a good thing. And we're looking at some additional revenue maybe on top of that as well. So
it's like pre-recession, huh?
Yeah, it's kind of getting, we're back to those numbers.
Yeah.
And we would like to obviously get much higher than we were in 07-08 per pupil funding, but it's good to be restored to that level. The challenges continue to face school districts in the state is on the investment in the retirement systems, the PERS and the STRS systems, which were obligated to provide a hefty match, and they didn't have a very good time there, so they're trying to recover their funds for that, and they're doing that on the backs of the school district. So that continues to be a challenge.
And the various governmental entities.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and I know that we've had folks over the last little bit talk about the latency. You know,
right.
Even though the stock market is up 40%, it isn't necessarily hitting these things, either because of the selection or the restriction of certain businesses into their portfolios, or it just takes so long because it's kind of like a rolling average. Okay. At what point, Chris, do you think that there's going to be a recognition statewide by the electeds to say, this one's broke? It's just broken. It's too much. It's killing too many. And so it's not education by itself, and it's not...
it's public employees throughout the state. Absolutely.
Everybody.
When I say PERS, you know, PERS is classified employees for districts, but that's your law enforcement. That's all your different government agencies.
Across the board throughout the state.
It's a big, big enterprise.
Looking at it going, something is wrong here. We really do need to deal with the elephant in the room. Is there any inertia, any sense, or is that seen as a third rail right now?
I think it's the third rail. I think the way that the state's handled it at this point is just to pass on the costs that you need to fund the program to your public agencies, and that's how they've handled it now, you know, whether it's through legislation. And, you know, we've gone, just to give an example, where in the past districts were we're required to match around 8-9% of each employee's retirement contribution. Those rates have gone up into the high teens, and we're expected to get into the low 20s in the next 2 to 3 years. So you've more than doubled the obligation to pay into these retirement programs in order to keep the funds fluid and keep the money coming for those people that are retired or going to be retired. So that's been the solution up to this point. And it makes it difficult when you are recovering and you're seeing some financial gain, but you're putting it right back out the door to fund these programs.
Yeah,
you're really struggling.
Nothing's going to the kids.
Yeah, well, yeah, it's not like you would have been able to in the past. That's
right.
For sure.
So as you look at that as an issue, is there any flexibility? I mean, either pushing the retirement age out or the vested point out or some kind of relief? If it's a biggie for the big boys, it's got to be a killer for the small folks.
Yeah, you know, there really isn't another option. So we're public employees, and, you know, you're either in one system or the other, and it's our legal obligation to fund it, which we want to do. You know, educators really aren't paid as much as we would like to see folks be paid, and retirement incentive is a good one. You know, so as employers, we want a strong, healthy retirement system because that's what attracts folks to work for us. And so it's a major priority for us to fund it. It's just, doggone it, would be nice if the rates could come back down as the economy is recovering. And there have been some signs of that as the stock market has improved. But the next couple of years will tell.
Is there any discussion about the individuals being responsible for their own? And we'll match whatever you do and you put it into your individual money market or whatever?
Individual employees are required to match a portion of their retirement plan as well already in the current system. So the employer and the employee are contributing.
It's 8:19.
Listen to 980 AM for the best music. ABBA, Neil Diamond, Barbra Streisand, Billy Joel, and The Fifth Dimension. The all-time best are heard every day, all day long on 980 AM. We are easy radio. Easy on your ears and easy on your mind. This is memory-making music, and you'll love the memories you create. Tune in and hear the best music. Easy radio, 980 AM.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Times, 8:24. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Chris Hartley. Chris, as things are kind of starting to get geared up, what are some of the things that need to be done, either by parents, by students, or others?
In preparation for the school year?
Or yeah, just to kind of in the last couple of days, other than, you know, get out and enjoy sleeping in as much as you can because it ain't going to happen anymore.
Well, there's always that shift, right? So you go from, you know, some folks have the summer bliss and you relax schedules. And so, for all of us, we start to look at what's our routine look like, what's the procedures in our life, how are they going to shift, and can you start warming up for that big change? And
get to work a little bit earlier to avoid the crowd.
Yeah, setting that clock a little earlier, get your act together, and so that it's not such a shock when it hits. And I think families in general, you know, speaking from my own experiences, you start kind of working on that with your kids, and you know, let's get ready so that those first couple of weeks aren't as rough of a transition. But sometimes, you know, best laid intentions don't work out. You know, you just continue to go right to the very last day. But just that transition is something that people can start working on, getting ready for the school year to start.
For those of us whose kids are out or grandkids have been out for a little bit, mm-hmm. What is the I guess protocol, policy, whatever you want, laptop, the notepads, those types of things? Are those tools for the classroom? I'm flashing back, you know, things you need. You know, when the guys were going through, it was a calculator of a certain type.
Sure.
Okay, now probably calculators aren't even being utilized anymore because
it depends.
The notepads have them, and then the cell phones have them. Everybody's got them. You can buy an app and, you know, upgrade and do all that. What is the policy around electronic devices?
Well, it really depends. But, the days of the trapper keeper Now, I remember the Trapper Keeper. That was a big deal, getting my binder all laid out, you know. And those days have shifted
peachies.
A bit. You know, the peachy folders and getting your pens and all that stuff. That was like a big preschool ritual, right? Getting your back-to-school stuff in order. So that's a great question. What is the preschool ritual around electronic devices? I think it does depend. Most kids these days, you know, in my experience, certainly at the high school, you know, are packing cell phones and that sort of thing. Some districts have a kind of a bring-your-own-device open, they embrace that openly because they might be using those devices in the classroom, versus a district that says, you know, we want to provide one-to-one electronics or computers for our students, whether it's a Chromebook or an iPad, or, you know, really depends on what their infrastructure is set up for technology-wise. But a lot of it goes back to that, Brian. So what kind of technology can your school site support? So if you don't have the right infrastructure where everybody can log in to your server and you have access points in the right places, it kind of limits what your capability is. But in Humboldt County, a lot of districts have done a really good job of preparing for that. In fact, at the state level, we're required to take our assessments now online. And so that's been something in the works for the last 3 years. So
you pretty much got it.
You kind of got it in order to take the state test. You know, so districts have improved that a lot. But it's kind of depends on the school and the curriculum of some of the teaching staff. You know, there isn't a set policy yet that's universal.
Does it make sense not to?
No, not really. You know, I think it's been a shift for me, kind of being a little old school, of seeing that teachers now are certainly more open to, let's get out our phones and get on this website and we're going to go into this activity. So that's been a significant shift in the last, I'd say, 5 years for sure.
Well, I would figure most of the teachers are personally more familiar with and more comfortable with, and as we age out.
There's so much out there, you know, that's really good curriculum and educational tools that are available through technology, and so we should embrace it.
What about the virtual learning, some of the offsite stuff? I know the district was really involved in the past about doing some of that tapping in statewide, and is that continuing to expand?
Well, virtual learning, there's a lot of different, you know, ways of going about that. You can integrate it in your daily classroom experience from time to time as it fits your scope of study, all the way to taking your entire educational path online. You know, and
so are there high schools or
there are schools that are doing
charter that. Schools that are doing that?
Well, I know in Northern Humboldt, our independent study program, we transitioned that over to virtual curriculum several years ago, and I think there are some other ones. I think there's a new program opening up in Eureka City Schools that's focusing on online independent study delivery. And so the advantage of that is it's really accessible any place you have internet access at any time that you want to access it. So, and from prior independent study curriculum might have been textbook driven and paper driven, and the student comes in and you send them home with big packets of information, whereas now you log into this online school. And as we know, you can get legitimate degrees, not just cereal box degrees, but really legitimate ones, you know, through online learning, you know. And there's been some question in my mind in high schools, should we even offer or require a online course in preparation for life after high school?
Just
to practice how you learn through that method, right? That would be a big change for me.
If there was a study hall, or library skills,
or
homeroom, or whatever we used to call it in the old days.
Right.
I would think that would be a great way to kind of insert an assignment and get everybody competent and comfortable doing it.
The fact is, today's folks are going to be taking an online course in some capacity or another.
Well, either on their job site or
You
know, somewhere else. So call it, wrap it, whatever you want.
Yeah.
Are textbook costs going down because of the use of the internet more?
I don't even know, to be honest with you. What drives textbook costs going down is when we can come together as districts and leverage our buying power. That's been my experience.
So volume discount is
pretty
much.
Volume discounts has been the best way I've done that. But I don't think any costs are going down when it comes to textbooks.
Not yet, baby. It's 8:30.
What could we do as a community to make Humboldt a better place to work and live? The answer is to make sure our kids are literate, able to plan financially, move forward in their education so they are better prepared to enter our workforce, and become contributing and productive members in our society, community, and economy. How do we do it? Through the Decade of Difference Initiative. Visit decadeofdifference.org and find out how you, as a parent, student, or business owner, can help. It's the Decade of Difference. Be part of it.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Times, 836. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Chris Hartley from the Humboldt County Office of Education, the place with the eucalyptus trees.
We have a few
Eureka,
of those.
Yes. Talk Shop presented by CDH Painting, REDEC, American Ag Credit, and Lolita Cheese. I won't ask you about the trees because they're still up. We'll just kind of let it.
We're working through that.
Yeah,
working
keep having it.
The city.
Keep having it, baby.
We'll find some solutions.
Now you said that you sometimes during the summer will take advantage and use that as a training opportunity, either for the students or the teachers or classified or for those who are anointed as the new middle management folks.
Sure, sure.
What do those look like?
Well, we just had a great example of that. So as a county office, we wrote a grant to the state to offer a training program targeted to folks who are in the illustrious position of superintendent and principal.
Oh, the combo.
The combo. And we have a few of those here in Humboldt County, quite a few. And it's typically your smaller districts. When we were researching the application process, we discovered that 30% of the districts in the entire state have a superintendent / principal leading the district.
30%?
30%. So it's not just a Humboldt County thing. This is really large. And so then we started investigating, well, what trainings are there targeted just to this unique position? And we couldn't find any.
Not too unique, though, bud.
Well,
30%.
Well, I mean, unique in the fact that people go 30%.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, okay.
And unique in that it's one of the only positions that combines all those different duties under one hat. And so we went ahead and wrote a proposal, and we were funded. And so we just held last week the institute for our superintendent principals, and it went off really well. We had 27 participants from throughout the state of California. We actually had two folks from the Los Angeles County, believe it or not. There's two superintendent principals in L.A. County.
Really?
Where do you think they would be? Let's test your geography. You've driven to L.A. before.
Yeah, spent as little time there as possible.
Well, you remember, so you know the grapevine. So as you're going up the grapevine, so at the top of the hill there, that begins L.A. County. And so they come from like
they have a school there like on the top of the hill?
Exactly, exactly. So two folks from that area came up. We had a slew of folks from the eastern
Fresno
part of the
with
state.
A view.
Well, I used to live in the valley. There's not much of a view there.
No, yeah.
But anyway, so we had this great institute came off last weekend, and like I said, 27 folks from throughout the state. And the focus for this training, for this position, you know, is really to try to help them prepare with the myriad of responsibilities they have. I mean, you're in charge of the fiscal. You're in charge. Well, heck, they did some interviews, and one gal from back over by the Reading area, I can't remember the district, was doing her video interview and said, look, I'm so excited. I just finished mowing the football field here. You know, and so you might be on the
you
mower
qualify.
One day. Yeah, you qualify, you know, or from special ed to
I would think your first
everything.
Your first segment could be, okay, now what? You got the job. Okay, now what?
Now what do you do? Please don't run away.
Yeah.
You know, but it's a great job because you have so much autonomy, but it's a very challenging job because you have to literally be an expert at everything. So when you think of a large district and what a superintendent needs to do, you have to do the same things. You have to do the same reports. You have to do the same state guidelines, the same criteria. And then at the same time, you're running a school with your principal hat on, you know, doing your scheduling, dealing with the students, working with your staff.
So how many of the principals are also in the classroom?
Well, in some cases, you will have that too. If you're in a real small, you might be teaching a couple grades in the middle of your day as well, because that's what's required.
Time management, the number one stressor?
I think time management and task management, you know, really, and knowledge set. You have to become knowledgeable just about on all aspects of a school, and that takes some time. And so that's what we're really trying to help these folks.
I mean, I'm inserting myself.
Sure, sure.
That's tough after doing something for 35 years, yeah, to stay abreast of all the changes that are going on.
Right.
You know, now I realize County Office of Ed probably helps out
a lot. Yes.
With a lot of the here. Oh, hey guys, this stuff has changed. Here's what you have to take care of. And maybe they don't have some of the HR issues, you know, based on whatever the relationships are.
Sure.
This is pretty much site and classroom specific, or are you talking about paying attention to the roof?
Yes.
And
the whole thing.
School bus driver schedules.
Absolutely.
And
driving the school bus. You know, in some cases, you might be the superintendent principal, bus driver's not available, and you're pitching in if you have the appropriate licensing.
So how do you give fair shakes to anything?
Well, I mean,
Or can you? Are you a generalist and you're 90% you're happy at?
I don't think so. I think, you build your capacity and you focus in on what your vision is. You can be an expert at it and do a fantastic job. The quality of education in many of the superintendent principal districts is extraordinary, and it's really based on relationships. But as the taskmaster, you have so much that you have to learn. That's what we're trying to help. And one of the things we found with the participants is the great appreciation for just creating a network of like positions where, so you and I, Brian, are superintendent peers. Principals. I can call you and go, Brian, have you ever dealt with this? Oh, yeah, actually I have. Let me help you out with that. And so that, I think, is, again, that builds that relationship piece, because these jobs could be pretty lonely too. You know, you're the only one running the show. You don't have a lot of administrators or anybody to commensurate with. So having a network is
And
a
if
good
you
thing.
Live in the neighborhood.
Yeah, right.
You're exactly. not going to be able to escape too much.
No. No.
But I would think that peer,
do
a lot of those folks in that position then move on to, let's say, a larger district where their sphere is narrow, or does this tend to be something,
boy,
if you like it, you like it and you are there until they shut the door behind you?
I've seen both cases, but I would say for my experience up here, folks that have entered into these positions tend to retire from them. And they develop, again, that real rich relationship with their community, because they're very tight community programs. And this is where they want to spend their time as an educator. They really are making important differences for kids and the whole community in general.
I would think the flip side of having relief and being able to focus on one or two areas only,
that's right,
is boredom, that you don't get to get involved with all these things that are normal
true.
For you. And you do pay attention to the football field.
Think about the impact that you have as an individual. So we're excited about this program and how it's helping people.
Well received?
Very well received. Yeah, it's a year-long program, and we'll run another cohort next year and hopefully keep serving that 30% in the state of California.
And nobody went running out screaming, pulling their hair.
Not that I saw.
Oh, right. Well, were you there the whole time?
Actually, no.
KINS, News and Information Time, it's 8:43.
SoCal just got a whole lot closer. No, we're not talking about some big, scary geological event. It's way cooler and with much less tectonic shifting. Starting in June, flying to LA will be quicker than ever with United Airlines' new nonstop flights from Humboldt County. That's right, no stops between here and there. Ascend, descend, and you're landing, like in just a couple hours. So it's kind of like LA is just down the road a piece. So what are you waiting for? Check it out at flyhumboldt.org.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Times, 8:46. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Chris Hartley. Chris, are there any new programs for the, I guess, the broader spectrum of us that aren't with a title of principal superintendent that the district is working on this year?
Yeah, you know, so at the county, we have a concept that actually just came out of a conversation I was having with, I don't know if you know Jim Ritter, but Jim Ritter does a lot of career education in the county.
I think almost everybody has heard of or met.
Well, I was coming back from Boise, Idaho, after dropping my daughter off, and called Jim on the phone, and we were chatting about an idea of letters to youth project.
This was a school related function, not Naked and Afraid in the Rockies, right?
No, okay, I dropped my daughter off for Boise State, and if you've driven there, you know there's a lot of road time, a
lot of thinking opportunity.
So what a great opportunity to have a conversation with a colleague, and so he had mentioned this idea of having a letters to youth project for Humboldt County folks and professionals and others to share their stories with our next generation. And I think we want to pursue this project, and this is a great opportunity for me to kind of float it out there right now to anybody who might be listening. But what we're going to be looking for is, you know, adults in our community, you know, to share lessons learned, whether in life or career, in a letter to students. And we would love to create, you know, sort of a book of these letters from community folks. And when we think of our educational community, it goes far deeper than just the schools. And we've got so many people in Humboldt County that my experiences in this position certainly are willing to give their time and mentor students. Well, why not capture that in writing and create a storybook of experiences from adults and mentors that could be shared with students?
Things I would have done differently.
Things you might have done differently.
I think everybody's played that little game, right?
Absolutely. Yeah. You know, and what we're always trying to do, you know, as a teacher first in my career, always trying to build relevancy, you know, into what we're teaching. And when I taught U.S. history, there was a book that really stood out for me, and it was a book, simple book by Studs Terkel called American Dream, and kind of played off that concept. But it was a compilation of stories of Americans that had gone through either very successful times or not so successful times. There were stories about the Depression, and I used that as a teacher, you know, nearly daily to kind of set the stage for what we were going to talk about. And we just know that all of us, that the power of a story, you know, deals with the past, it deals with the present, and it deals with where we're going. And I think it's just a really cool idea. And this is my first chance to kind of put it out there to folks in the county that if anybody is willing to write a story or a letter to our
short
youth,
story,
a short story, a short story, otherwise it loses its zing, right?
Yeah.
To our youth, you know, I'd love to involve them in this project.
So ideally one or two pages kind of thing?
Exactly.
If that much.
1 to 2 pages, could be in a letter format. I think having different styles would add to the book instead of all looking cookie cutter. Could be handwritten, could be typed. The main thing is, you know, share some of your learnings in life, and we can share that on with the kids. And I think it's got a great potential.
Do it in cursive writing, and nobody could read it.
It was my doctor.
Yeah. No, I mean, even clear.
Yeah, right.
You
right,
know, some
right.
of the stuff.
Yeah, it's true.
So just reach out to you. Do you have.
Yeah, so.
Is Jim the contact? Or
I'll serve as the contact right now. So okay. They can call the county office at 445-7030, and we'll work to continue to put this message out there.
That'll be a kick in the pants.
Yeah, I think
and
it's
then,
great.
Then we'll have our own. Why do
we're
we say
gonna have
that?
Our own, and you're gonna yeah. need to start writing your story right now.
You got it, babe. See you right tomorrow.
Thank you.